one of the numbers that bothers me, and I see this number a lot, and it does bother me because I know it's grossly inaccurate. Over a million Americans died from COVID-19. That's simply not true. Simply not true. Over a million Americans died with COVID, and many of them were attributed to COVID falsely. We know that now. Studies show that the number of actual deaths from COVID significantly smaller. Young people didn't die from COVID. Very rarely, in fact. Almost none. Daniel Gernstein, board member at the Pandemic Mitigation Project, is joining me now. Former served as the acting undersecretary and deputy undersecretary of the Department of Homeland Security Science and Technology Directorate from 2011 to 2014. Daniel, good to have you here.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here.
Am I wrong to be skeptical of these numbers? I want to talk about some other things here. The next biosecurity threat is out there. I'm sure of that. But let's be honest about what happened here. I go back to Macomb County, 2020. A suicide patient, a decedent comes in. They find out his uncle has COVID in the local hospital. They test the corpse who died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound, found that he had COVID, and wrote it as a COVID death. The death came from a bullet going through his brain, not from COVID. So therefore, I've been skeptical of the numbers ever since. Am I wrong for that?
Well, I think you're being a little harsh, Steve. I mean, I do think that our numbers of dead that are attributable to COVID, aside from cases that you just talked about.
Well, that's not the only example. I don't think it's a million. Anyhow, we'll agree to disagree on that. I think that people had a lot of complicating factors, obesity, diabetes, cancer. I know of another patient that died of cancer, for stage four cancer, and it cost the family $250,000 because he was in hospice and the cause of death was listed as COVID, even though he had had cancer before the pandemic began. And the insurance company had a $250,000 rider on cancer death that the family did not get. I can go on through these cases a lot. Anyhow, what is the next biosecurity threat?
Well, I mean, so you mentioned I'm on the board of this pandemic mitigation project. And what we're interested in is when there is the next biological threat, which, you know, is most likely to be a naturally occurring pandemic, that we have some way to better protect ourselves. And one of the things that we've come up with, a group of international lawyers, and, you know, I participate as well. And, you know, what happens is, you know, we've thought about this idea of having some way to condition trade and travel the same way we did after 9/11. But, you know, it would require countries to be more forthcoming with their knowledge of pandemics and to share information more readily. So, you know, what we're trying to do is increase the awareness and get, you know, some sort of approach that would better protect us from the next pathogen. And that next pathogen is out there. I mean, I just read an article yesterday about dengue fever in Florida. And it's moving all throughout Latin America because of climate change activities and such. So, I mean, we are going to see increasing pressure.
So why is dengue fever, how's climate change impacted?
Well, what's happening is the mosquitoes, the Aedes aegypti mosquito, which carries dengue, now is moving into other climates. It likes warm climates, and so it is becoming warmer in certain areas. And with that, you have the migration of the mosquito, and the mosquito is bringing along with it the disease that it carries, which includes dengue fever. So it's a real problem right now in Brazil. Brazil has something like, several orders of magnitude greater problem this year than they've ever had. And we know in Florida, for example, that we've seen dengue fever naturally acquired. So it tells us that we have vectors, we call, you know, the mosquitoes vectors, that are moving their habitats and they're bringing with them disease.
Hasn't Florida always been hot?
It's always been hot, but, you know, you generally had periods of time when it became very cold, and that killed off the mosquito population and or at least, you know, tamped it down. But what you're
going to say, it freezes in Michigan every winter. We have mosquitoes every spring.
You do, but you don't have the Andes Aegypti.
I don't have that particular. I don't have that particular species. No, anyhow,
right? Yeah.
So here's the problem that you face here. The first thing that I see, Daniel, and that is China's never going to tell you the truth. And so are some other countries are never going to tell you the truth if they have an outbreak of a disease. China didn't tell the truth. China traditionally doesn't tell the truth. China welded people shut in their houses. That was their solution. We don't know how many people died in China. We don't know anything about the truth of China. We don't know about the lesser horseshoe bat and how the virus got to Wuhan. We don't know anything about it because China didn't let in the World Health Organization. China didn't let in any experts from America or anything else. Why would we trust China to be more open?
Well, I mean, this is, you know, this is what we are talking about, is trying to get countries to be more open. We know that there are some that are not going to be transparent and open. You know, North Korea is not one, but we don't do a lot of trade with North Korea. We do happen to do a lot of trade and travel with China. It would be in their interest if we had something like this, like we did with counterterrorism activities after 9/11. We had the same kind of provisions. They exist now, and it's just simply a matter of applying them to pandemic reporting and getting countries to agree to be more transparent.
Dan, I need you to come back in the future because we're up against a break here, and I'm just starting to scratch the surface. So I need to have you come back when we can spend a half an hour and dig deeper into this.
Happy to do it.
I'm skeptical about some of your numbers, and that's okay. Maybe you can convince me. I'm not, you know, closed to the idea. I'm just skeptical of some of the ideas here. But I think we need to talk about this. I think we talk about the next biosecurity threat in greater detail. Daniel Gerstein, board member, Pandemic Mitigation Project. Appreciate the good start. We're going to have to finish now.
Sounds good.